Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for tonight's message is the gospel lesson, which was read at the lectern. The feeding of the 5,000 must have been a remarkable, miraculous, significant event. All four Gospels contain the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Some add details, others leave details out. And Matthew tonight simply tells us that event. He simply tells us the happening, the feeding of the 5,000. Without any fanfare, without any splash. In fact, if we were reading through the Gospel of Matthew, we might simply skip over it. And yet, Matthew has a way of saying things, connecting things to other things to show their importance. Just prior to our verses this evening, in the beginning of chapter 14, Herod throws a banquet. Say, Herod throws a banquet for himself. He invites lots of people. It's his birthday. He celebrates. But the purpose of the banquet is for himself. The guests don't get anything out of it, really, except food and wine, of course. But it's a selfish party given by Herod himself. And at that party, we're told that a request was made for John's head. And John was brought from prison, and his head was cut off and put on a platter and brought before Herod. And Jesus has heard this. He's heard of John's death. And Matthew tells us that when Jesus heard about John, when Jesus had heard about all of these events, he left in a boat and went to a deserted place. We can understand Jesus wanting to do that, can't we? There are times in your life and mine we just want to be alone. We want to go away. We want to be by ourselves. Of course, Jesus takes with him his disciples, perhaps for some further teaching. Matthew doesn't tell us the purpose of their journey other than Jesus left and went to a desolate place to be alone. The people heard and followed him, and when he got out of the boat, there the people were. Has that happened to you? You want to be alone? You want time to yourself? Perhaps time to grieve? Perhaps time to reflect? Perhaps time to meditate, to be alone with God in prayer or the study of his word? And the phone rings, or the doorbell rings, or the cell phone rings, or a whole bunch of people bombard you. We understand that feeling also, don't we? And Jesus tends to their needs. He heals their sick. And this is a desolate place, a deserted place. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Imagine a place out in the middle of nowhere. When I drive over to Almond and I drive through the grasslands, it reminds me of my days in North Dakota, the flatness, the grass. My grandfather came out to visit me in North Dakota and he said, this is the most desolate place I've ever imagined. You go to a farm and you expect people there, and there's nobody there. You go to the next one, and there's nobody there. There's nobody in this place. There's nothing in this place. It's a deserted place. Jesus purposefully selects that place to be alone with his disciples. But it's not so deserted, it's not so desolate, because 5,000 men plus women and children clamor there to see Jesus, to hear Jesus, be cared for by Jesus. And the disciples, if you read further, and they want the people to go and get something for themselves to eat. Have you ever thought of how absurd their statement is? They're in a deserted place. There's no place for them to go, except, of course, back home, back to the villages. But Jesus takes care of them, and now it's time for them to be fed. The disciples are getting nervous and impatient. It's like, send them away. Let them get something for themselves. And Jesus says, no. You get them something to eat. You give them something to eat. What? We understand that feeling also, don't we? Company comes, relatives come, and they stay for the mealtime. Maybe it's like Mother Hubbard going to the cupboard, or dipping into the wallet for some change. What? I'm supposed to feed them? They're in a deserted place. They say, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they're not great loaves either. They're dry barley loaves. And what's Jesus trying to teach those disciples? What's he trying to say to you and I, who sometimes find ourselves in the position of the disciples, and Jesus telling us, you take care of it, you help them, you come up with something. So all we have is a little bit, and what's that among so many? Or what can I possibly do? And Jesus says, bring it here. He reminds the disciples, he reminds you and I, that spiritually we can't do anything. We bring nothing. And our nothing is not a little something. It's not like bringing a small 4-ounce dish of Jell-O to the potluck. It's bringing nothing before the Lord. We have nothing to offer him, nothing to give him, and nothing that we can do to help ourselves out of our desperate state. Because our lives are a desolate place without him. This world we live in is a desolate place. Even our friends, the people we turn to for help, sometimes are like-haired and very selfish and only thinking about themselves. And we also, when our friends come to us, we're very selfish and think only of ourselves. But not Jesus. In a way, our saying, I just have a little bit, that's sort of being selfish too, isn't it? Sometimes it's being improperly modest and humble, maybe drawing attention to the little bit that we have. Sometimes maybe it's faithless. Oh, but what can I do? I just have a little bit. But Jesus takes that little bit, even with our lack of faith, even with our improper modesty, and he does something with it. provides. He provides for you and for me and for others. He took it and he said a blessing. All this in a deserted place, a desolate place. But yet he told, we're told that there was a grassy place. Wherever the Lord is, no matter how deserted, no matter how desolate, there's a comfortable place for us to rest. Just like in the hymn that we sang based on the 23rd Psalm. He leads me to green pastures. And I look at the 23rd Psalm, and I look at a picture of the Holy Land in an archaeological review or in a Bible dictionary, and it's dry, and it's dirt, and it's rock, and it's not green. It's not pasture. But yet, where Jesus is, where we find our Lord, it is a green, lush pasture, isn't it? And it is a cool, quiet stream that he brings us to as he cares for us, as he loves us, as he provides for us, as he offers himself for our salvation. And we come. We come tonight to his table, to his green pasture and his quiet water, and our cups overflow. The cups that we bring, the vessels ourselves that are empty, that have nothing in them. And he fills them up with himself, fills them up with his love, with his grace, with his mercy, with his righteousness. And his rod and his staff go with us. Jesus was grieving the death of John. Jesus, understandably, could have sent all of those people away. And understandably, the Holy Son of God, in whose presence we come tonight, could easily send us all away. But he doesn't. He welcomes us. He invites us. He says, come. Come as you are. Come empty. Come saddened. Come grieving. Come hurting. Come weary and heavy burdened. And I will give you rest, real rest. I will give you real bread, the bread of life. I will give you real drink, the life-giving water. I will give you real food. I will give you real sustenance for your soul. I will give you what the world cannot give, what your friends cannot give, what you cannot give to anyone else. I will give what only I can give. I will give you my life, my righteousness, my joy, my peace. So we come tonight to a desolate place. And the Lord prepares for us a banquet, unlike King Herod's banquet, but very much like that banquet where he served and fed 5,000, so much so that there were 12 baskets full left over. As we come to his table, he fills us up to overflowing, so that of his mercy, of his grace, of his peace, of his forgiveness, we may go forth and share it with our world, with our families, with those who are dear to us. In his name, amen.